The goal of the day is that we see there is power in prayer. We can't change things. But we know the God who can. And I'm reminded of the Word of God, the words of Jesus, "You have not because you ask not." Let that not be our sin today, that we have not asked. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? It's kind of lengthy this morning, but bear with me. Verse 1, it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, 'O Lord, our God, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with her little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king, you king, Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You'll not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.' Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked forward to the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of values on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, today we approach you asking for your guidance as we look into your word. Teach us, Lord, your ways. Teach us, Lord, how to pray, that we may be faithful, consistent, and have strength and power in our prayer life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A day of prayer, that's what today is all about. Very simply, nothing complex, nothing hard about it. It's very simple. A call to turn hearts of people to pray. We begin this message with deciding whether we're going to live in faith or in fear. That's a decision that everyone has to make at this point, and that's a decision that the people of Judah, the children of Israel, had to make. First thing I want to address is the fear that people often live in. In verse 3, we find Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, it says he was afraid. The reason for his fear was because the Moabites and the Amorites and the people of Mount Seir had formed a gigantic army to come against the nation of Israel. And the problem was that Israel, as they saw this gigantic force coming toward them, they had absolutely no chance in defeating such a massive army. Jehoshaphat knows he's about to be taken. He knows his country is about to be overrun, and there is absolutely nothing humanly possible that he can do about it. He's helpless, along with all the residents. And so he has to decide, am I going to live in this fear that's actually paralyzing me at this point, or am I going to have faith? Well, Jehoshaphat, being the man he was, he turned to his faith. And Jehoshaphat, it says, he set himself to seek the Lord in his faith. That word "set," it means to give oneself over to something. You know, you can either give yourself over to fear, or you can give yourself over to what you believe. Jehoshaphat gave himself over to seek the Lord. And he declared a fast throughout all Judah. In the same text that we read just a moment ago, not only is Jehoshaphat setting himself to seek the Lord, the word goes out for all of Judah to join in to seek the Lord. And so they do. As a nation, the whole country, realizing their terrible position, their no-win situation, their only hope is God, and they cry out. Friends, we've seen a lot in the year 2020. I believe that At this point, we as a country, the United States of America, are in very deep trouble. And I'm not, this is not a gloom and doom. It is not a political. It is just a statement of fact. Folks, we're in trouble. And we're on the edge of an election that will determine the course of the nation, not only for our lifetime, but for our kids and our grandkids. And I'm not here today to support a candidate. I'm here to encourage you, when you go into the voting box, you vote God. Okay? But no matter who wins this election, I fear that in our current situation, the hearts of leadership are such that people are willing to destroy this country rather than join together for the good of a nation. No matter who wins this election, there's still going to be a pandemic. No matter who wins this election, there's still going to be a racial divide. No matter who wins this election, there's still going to be war in Washington between the Democrats and the Republicans. Today, I'm here just to remind you that the real problem in the United States of America is not the president. It's not Republicans or Democrats. It's not coronavirus, race relations. The real problem in the United States of America today is the heart of our country. That's our problem. And we can live in fear and just, you know, you hear, everywhere you hear is bad news. I don't watch the news now because it's always bad news. And I still hear a lot of bad news. But we have problems. And we can live in fear of these problems. Or we can take a stand on our faith. And cry out to the Lord, praying for our only hope. And that hope is God's intervention, because only God can change the heart of a man. In my lifetime, I've seen a lot of presidents come and go. And just to be quite honest with you, none of them have made a major difference. But I know the God that can. Friends, there's an old saying. You get what you pay for. That means that if you want something cheap, you can go to the discount store and buy something that's imported, and you'll buy that product and it might last you a short time and it breaks and it's no good anymore. Or if you want something that's going to last a while, you buy the more expensive. You pay for the quality. I want us to adopt another saying today. Instead of you get what you pay for, today I want to challenge you, you get what you pray for. You get what you pray for. So many of our prayers are, Lord, bless them, bless me, take care of everybody, amen. That's not a prayer that we need right now. We need a nation to get down on our knees and set ourselves to seek the Lord as never before. To actually have a prayer life. Well, what, Brother Doug, what's it going to take to have a prayer life? You need two things. You need the question and you need conviction. Today we're going to talk about the questions that you need to ask at this point. Jehoshaphat is praying. And he begins a review of what God is capable of. And I love his list here. He says, are you not the God of heaven? In your hands, is there not power and might so that no one is able to stand you or withstand you? Are you not the God who drove out the inhabitants of this land? And as he's asking these questions, he's not questioning God, okay? I want you to get that. He's not questioning God, but he's reviewing in his mind of who his God is. And you almost see how his conviction changes, how he goes from, oh my goodness, what are we going to do, to, oh my goodness, I know God. And as he asks these questions, you can just see him almost answering, yes, you are the God of heaven. Yes, you did drive out the inhabitants. Yes, no one is able to withstand you. Yes, you're the God of this universe. And in verse 9, he comes to realize, because you are the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, if disaster comes, if it's sore, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will cry out to you. He knew where to go when there was trouble. That's where you gain your conviction. When you take a real hard look at who the God that we say we know is. This is the God whose spoken word created this universe. This is the God who for the children of Israel parted the Red Sea. This is the God who gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary. This is the God that our problems are no problem for this God. You see, that's where conviction comes in. When you ask those questions and you begin to answer them, you begin to realize who God is. You know why our prayer life is so weak these days? Because we really do not believe it will make a difference. That's why, you know, I've heard people say, well, I don't pray that much. Why don't you pray that much? Because you don't believe it matters. I mean, let's face it. If I believe something truly matters, I'm going to act upon my beliefs. Amen? That's our challenge today. Realizing who God is. Realizing the power that God has. And we cry out knowing with all conviction that God can change this country. That God can bring revival. And once again, we can be a nation under God. That's our God. Yes. Our God can deliver us from the gridlock of Washington. Our God can deliver us from the evil that's so prevalent in the world today. Yes, our God has seen us through a lot of times as a nation. I want you to just back up and consider where we've gone from to where we are today. God has delivered us through a revolutionary war. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraqi freedom. But right now we're facing the greatest war that this nation has ever faced, which is unbelief. It is plaguing our churches, it is plaguing Christians, it is plaguing our nation, and it's obvious by where we are. I just want you to understand. I had to preach this to me before I could preach it to you. I believe we serve a God that can deliver us from the bitterness and hatred that exists today. We believe in a God that can fix the government. We believe in a God that can bring a revival. But once again, the Scripture says you have not because you ask not. You ask and do not have because you ask amiss or ask for the wrong reasons. Today I want to challenge you that as we pray, we don't just, God, I don't want to live in a bad country. But instead we pray, God, give us a country that will honor You and glorify You once again. For that is why we're here. God can deliver us. But you've got to know it. The book of James, we're instructed to pray without doubt. For if we doubt, Let that man not think he'll receive anything from God. Listen, you got to understand who God is. There's nothing too big for our God. I love this country. I love my life. God has been so good to me. And I want my children, my grandchildren, and their children, until the Lord comes back, to live in a country where they can exercise their religious freedom, where they can live according to the standard of the Word of God, where they're not consumed by the evil that is surrounding us. I would like to see my kids and grandkids carry out their lives in a nation that was better than the one that I have enjoyed while I was here. But beloved, if that's going to happen, we're going to have to get on our knees. We're going to have to rely on God's power and take our position. God's power. God's, you got to love verse 15. God's response was, "Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the battle is not yours, it's God's." Can you imagine? Have you ever been really scared? I'm talking about really afraid, like, I might not make it through this one. I probably won't make it through this. And that's what Israel and that's what Jehoshaphat is thinking at this point. We're not going to make it through this one. And so God speaks to His prophet and He tells this prophet, "You tell Israel, tell Judah, don't be afraid. I got this." That's Doug Hambrick translation. The battle's not yours. It's God's. Verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle." Verse 20, "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in His prophets and you will prosper." Basically, trust me, I've got it. I'm God. You believe in me, trust me. Trust the prophets. He's talking about His Word. Trust my Word. I'll do what I say I do. And if I say I've got this battle, I've got it. I'm reminded at this point that what seems impossible to us is not impossible for God. I've been asked, people have asked me numerous times, "Brother Doug, have we gone too far?" The answer to that question is no. I'll be honest with you, I've wondered a time or two. I thought, God, can you fix this? The God that we serve, the Creator of this universe, can do anything, including bring revival to this nation. But it starts with God's people on their knees. You see, we're going to have to start approaching God as the miracle-working God that He is. All right? We're so afraid, you know, we don't want to talk about miracles. Listen, God's a miracle-working God. And He can do anything He wants to do. He's not bound by the laws of nature or laws of science or whatever else. He's not bound by anything. He's God. He can bring a revival to sweep this nation and to sweep our government. He can eradicate the coronavirus and whatever virus is waiting in the future. He can knock it out. Because that's our God. But we're going to have to start approaching God from the viewpoint of confidence. And we're going to have to start approaching God from the viewpoint of, I've got to have a prayer life. You see, I love, God said, "I've got this." And you know, my response would have probably been, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" And it reminds me at this point, God could look at him and say, "You guys, I got this. I don't really need you. I don't really need you. I can handle this. You'll probably just mess it up anyway, right?" But I want you to notice in verse 17, They're told to position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Prayer does not stop when you say amen. Do you know that? Prayer does not stop when you say amen. You bring your petitions before the Lord. You get up off your knees after you've presented that petition. And then you position yourself and stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Bottom line. Okay? You pray expecting an answer is what he's saying here. And I love you say, well, what was their position? Here's their position. Let me show you. In verse 21, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. And he appointed those who should praise the beauty of holiness. Now, that phrase, beauty of holiness, the New American Standard translates that as he appointed those who should praise him in holy attire. So there were those that were singers, and there were those that were going to praise him in holy clothing. Right? And so, the point being there, that position is a position of praise. When you get off your knees, you honor God believing He's going to do what you've asked Him to do. You say, Brother Doug, how do I know it's God's will? Don't pray anything, it's not God's will. You think it's God's will to bring revival to this nation? Then pray for it. Get up off your knees after you prayed and live like it. Declaring the glory of God to everybody you come in contact with. Let me tell you how good, when you meet people. Let me tell you, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, we went to church. Let me tell you how good our God was. What'd you do Wednesday night? Oh, we went to Awana. We worked with kids in Awana. Let me tell you how good our God was. So what happens here is, and I love this, he appointed those who are going to praise the Lord and those who are going to sing to the Lord. And it says, let's see, in verse 21, they went out before the army and they were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. So they go out and they're shouting and praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And they hadn't even got to the battle site yet. They're going to the battle and on the way they're singing and they're shouting, praise to the Lord. And while they're singing and they're praising, before they're even at the battle site, God intervenes. And God intervenes, and it says that the people of Ammon and Moab began to fight against the people of Mount Seir. Now, this was that great, massive army that had joined to get forces together to defeat Israel. And so God had set some kind of, He calls them ambushes here, and He set some kind of difference between them, and the Amorites and the Moabites, they team up and say, let's just wipe them old people, Mount Seir, off, cut them out of the deal, and let's just wipe them out. So they did. So after they wiped out the people of Mount Seir, they looked at one another and said, you know what? I don't like you either. And so they began to fight one another. And Moab and the Moabites and the Amorites begin to fight. And Israel hadn't even got to the battle site yet. They're fighting so much that people are dying. And even to the point the Bible says there wasn't one left standing. Everybody died fighting one another. Can you imagine when Israel gets to the top of the hill and they look down there and say, wow, God wasn't kidding. The Bible says, all they saw were dead bodies scattered across the landscape. They had to be a little bit surprised, don't you think? What I want you to understand today is there's victory in God. He is the answer for the need of this nation. But it's going to have to start with God's people. We're going to have to get concerned enough to get on our knees before a holy God.
and cry out like we've never cried out before. Listen. I know we're going to win. I know we're going to win. I know that Jesus is coming back, and when Jesus comes back, glory to God, we're going to be snatched off this earth and go meet Him in the air. And I know that's close. I understand. And yes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do today. Until that time, I'm going to commit to praying for revival. I'm going to commit to saying, Lord, deliver our nation. Bring revival once again. Guide our leaders. Father, let us see Your mighty hand. Because we serve a miracle-working God. You know, I think people are afraid. This election coming up. People think, you know, there's one side think, oh, if President Trump gets it again, the country's going to fall apart. The others think, well, if Biden gets it, Joe Biden, I couldn't think of his first name. I wasn't being disrespectful. But if Mr. Joe Biden gets it, our country's going to fall apart. I think we're giving man too much credit. This country will only fall when God allows it to fall. And listen, yes, I think the election's important. And once again, let me encourage you, vote God. Examine the candidates, what they stand for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Not my place. But examine the candidates and what they stand for, not what party they represent. And vote God. In the meantime, today's a day of prayer. Our nation needs your prayers. And in a minute, we're going to have a verse of invitation. When we have this invitation, I'm going to encourage you, let's use the altar today. Let's pray for our nation. And if the altar's filled and you don't have, you know, you look like you can't get up here, well, get as close as you can and bow. Okay? But I want to challenge us as a church. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how we need You. I pray for this nation. I pray for the right man to be in the office of president, and the right man is the man that You have chosen. Father, I pray for revival. That You will spiritually heal our land, turning hearts to You. Father, I pray, knowing that You can and will send revival. So, Father, as we get up off our knees, we're going to get up expecting, and we're going to get up knowing that You're going to bring the victory. Lord, we trust You in all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.